Anybody know what this is? Are you sure? It is. Could be a house. But it is home plate. There was a baseball coach. Some of you may have heard or seen his speech or know a little bit about him, but his name was John Scalinas. He was well-known, well-respected coach. He coached at Pepperdine University from 1946 to 1960 and at California State Polytechnic University in Pomona from 1962 to 1991. And he would go around and give speeches to baseball coaches at various events. And he gave one such speech in 1989, and you can watch it on YouTube if you'd like. But he took the stage wearing home plate around his neck. And I started to do that, but I didn't want to go overboard. But he proceeded to take the stage with home plate hanging around his neck. And he went on for several minutes talking to this group of coaches and various things he started talking about. Went on for several minutes before he addressed the home plate hanging around his neck. I want to paraphrase a little bit about what he said about home plate as we get into the message today. And the first question that he asked them was, does anybody in the audience know how big home plate is in Little League? It's 17 inches. How about in middle school? It's 17 inches. How about in high school? 17 inches. And he went on to talk about the minor leagues, 17 inches. And you guessed it, Major League Baseball, it's also 17 inches. Home plate is the same regardless of the league or of the age of the players. The standard is 17 inches. And he would point out, you don't widen home plate for the pitcher that can't throw strikes. And you don't make home plate smaller for the batter that can't protect home plate. You keep it at 17 inches. It's constant and it doesn't change. There's a level of accountability for the players. They have to work a little harder to throw strikes, or they may have to work a little harder to protect the plate and keep from striking out. But he would keep repeating over and over, stay at 17 inches. And I want to use this phrase today in my message, staying at 17 inches. And you'll hear it several times, and I actually have that as the title of this message, stay at 17 inches. And as I use this today, I want to indicate that you and I must not compromise our standards. We must not lower our standards if it seems too difficult. We must work harder to meet those standards. We must work hard to obey God. You look around today in society and you see lots of instances where the standards are modified or whether they are reduced to accommodate those that either can't meet them or those that are not willing to work hard enough to meet them. There are instances even in school where grading scales get lowered so that everyone in the class doesn't fail. And this could be the result of several factors. One could be that the teacher is just too difficult or is not a good teacher. And there might be an occasion that modifying that scale needs to be done, but for the most part in school, the grading scale is set. You make a certain grade to get a certain grade. You have to do the work. And if you don't work hard, if you don't study, you'll likely make bad grades. And you'll not meet the standard that's been set. But we've all been given a special opportunity. Not that that makes us something special in terms of being better than those people around us, but we have all been called to be better. We've been called to adhere to a higher standard. Better in terms of the life that we live, and the standard that we live by. Better in terms of the standard that we should measure our life against. And all of you probably have in your laps your Bible. This is our standard. This is our home plate. God's Word is our home plate. And it doesn't change based on the ability of the individual that God is working with. It's the same for everyone. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 13, verse 8, if you want to jot that down and look at it later, we're all probably familiar with it, but we're told that God and Jesus Christ are the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are consistent. They are constant. They don't change. God's law and His commandments don't change. And again, as I said, our Bible is our home plate. This is the standard that we use to mold our lives. This is the standard that we're all going to be graded on. This is the standard that we're going to be judged by. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy 3, if you would. Again, another verse that we're all familiar with. And it's important to look at this and to understand this as we get into this message about the Bible being our standard. But 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you can jot down 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. We won't turn there, but we read that no prophecy of Scripture is by private interpretation, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the first thing for this to be our home plate and our standard is we must understand and accept this fact that everything we read in this Bible is inspired by God. And it's inspired for us to live by. And it's there for a purpose for us to read and to study. This standard that we have is from God. Our home plate, our standard has been established by God, not individuals or not men. But however, we all know and understand that Satan has other plans. Satan wants to change the size of home plate. He wants to blur the lines between good and evil. And again, you can jot this down for your notes. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. We know that Satan has been given rulership over this world. And as such, he has blinded the eyes of the people in the world. Satan has blurred the lines between good and evil. He has also caused a shift in the size of home plate. Society makes concessions so that its members can choose a different standard or a set of guidelines if it makes their lives a little bit easier or if it's more convenient. And we hear a lot, too, about everybody just getting along, coexisting, and so on and so forth. But society wants to modify the size of home plate. They want to change the standards. In the time remaining today, I want to encourage all of us to adhere to the standard that God has given us in His Word. And we're going to face opportunities in our lives, and most of us have probably already faced opportunities, which we may be tempted to compromise. We may be tempted to compromise that standard, maybe just a little bit. It's okay if I move just a little bit. But in the words of John Scalinas, we must stay at 17 inches. I want to look at a few areas where God has set the standard for His people to follow. And this is something we're all familiar with. I want to do it just as a review, but to point this out. I want to look at a few examples. And as we look at these, Let's think about some of God's intended blessings as He set this standard for us. And we can also think about, as we look at these, the result or the side effects that may happen when society or this world compromises, when they shift that standard to suit their needs or to make it more convenient. The first one we'll look at, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. This is back in the creation. The first standard here that I have is God created male and female. We read about creation week and what God did. And as you read the early verses of Genesis chapter 1 on each day of creation, it says, "And what God did was good." And we'll start in verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And as you skip on down, verse 31, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God created man in His image. And it's interesting to note here that previously, the days of creation, after the day of creation was over, God said that it was good. But we get down here to what God says after He created man. It says He saw everything that He created, and then it was very good. Man was created without sin, and it was very good. And then a little later on in chapter 2, we see that God wanted to create a helper for Adam. In verse 20, "So Adam gave names to the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." And then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." God created the woman to be a helper to Adam, or to complement Adam. And as we read here, God created male and female. There were only two possibilities here. And God's creation was very good. And we know that God doesn't make mistakes. And as we will see shortly, God had a plan for Adam and Eve, for the man and the woman. And God knew what He was doing. He intended for this relationship between them to be a blessing. But as we know, society allows for the modification of what God has created. They might think that, well, maybe God made a mistake. I don't really like the way that I am. I want to be something else. Now let's fix the mistake that God made, and let's fix it ourselves. You know, switching from male to female or vice versa is one thing, and it's a wrong thing. But when they want to start being something else, totally different, you know, what in the world is the world thinking? And we know Satan is behind this. And I get frustrated sometimes when I'm filling out paperwork, or maybe it's for a doctor's office or whatever it is. And there are about six choices to put down for your gender. And I'm looking at this, and it's really hard for me sometimes not to just put something totally ridiculous. Just pick the most absolute ridiculous thing on the list and check it. But Satan has blurred the lines. here. He's changed the size of home plate. It's not 17 inches anymore. And we must all stay at 17 inches. The second area I want to look at, building on the creation of Adam and Eve, is God created the marriage covenant. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You know, God created the marriage covenant between one man and one woman. And it was intended to be a lifelong commitment. And God intended for marriage between a man and a woman to be a wonderful thing. And when you adhere to the standard that God has set, and you follow the principles that God gives us, marriage is a tremendous blessing. And God intended it that way. God knew what He was doing. The marriage covenant is for our benefit. God wants us to benefit from it. And it's a blessing to the husbands and to the wives. But it also teaches us about the relationship that God and Jesus Christ want with the church. Marriage should help us to better understand that relationship. And that understanding will hopefully lead all of us to fulfilling the role that God has called us to fulfill. And society has decided otherwise. Marriage can be between two people that love each other. Or some people may decide not to get married at all. They change the standard for whatever suits their needs. And some of the side effects of that compromise for the relationships are not at all the blessing that God had planned. There ends up being confusion, persecution, heartache, and the list could go on. But society has changed the size of home plate. We must stay at 17 inches. The third area that I want to look at is that God created the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read in verse 2 and 3. "And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made." God created the Sabbath as a rest period from the normal day-to-day routine that we have. It's a time for us to have spiritual and physical rest and renewal. And God defined the Sabbath as the seventh day of the week. God knew that we needed a day of rest to connect with Him and to recharge from our normal daily routines. And the older I get, the more thankful I am for this rest. It's a great blessing to be able to put everything we do during the week, to put it aside and put it down and not have to worry about it at all. To have a one day where we can completely disconnect from all of that. Turn over to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, and we'll read starting verse 16. It says, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." God intended the Sabbath to be kept by His people. It was a sign between Him and His children. But again, man and the society that we live in decided it might be okay to do something else, to switch the day that they go to church from Saturday to Sunday. And it works out better maybe for most people to go on Sunday. Saturday is the day they get to work, do the work around the house, do their ball games. And even some churches, I'm sure in other areas too, churches will offer services on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, whichever time works best for you and your schedule, drop on by. Doesn't matter when you come, just as long as you come. And it's okay to come whichever time is best for you. The way society does it, many people may not actually get a day of rest at all. They may go to church whichever one of those times is convenient for them, but once it's over, they go right back to the work or the routine that they were doing every other day. So in a sense, there is no rest for them. They've drastically, again, changed the size of home plate. Let's stay at 17 inches. A fourth area is God's food laws. God sets the standards for what we can and cannot eat. We read about those animals in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. And God had a reason for giving those guidelines and setting the standard for us. One benefit is for our health. And society even recognizes today that eating a lot of the unclean things they do is bad for them. But they do it anyway. And you can jot down Leviticus 11, 43 through 47. We won't read that now, but God gave there clear instruction on what is clean and unclean. And He also gave the standard by which to judge for ourselves as to which animals are clean and unclean. And society today will eat just about anything that moves, and some things that don't move. Some of the animals that society eats are actually garbage disposals, and they contain lots of parasites. Some of them are even deadly if they're not prepared a specific way. And I can't imagine going into a place to order this particular whatever it is, that if the chef doesn't get it exactly right, it could kill me. I mean, that to me doesn't sound very appealing. It's not a delicacy. But again, God knew what He was doing. But society, again, had a better idea. It's okay to compromise that standard because we can make some really tasty dishes from some of the nastiest of animals that we're not supposed to eat. And some of the side effects from changing the size of home plate for this one include poor health and disease. Let's stay at 17 inches. The fifth and final area that I want to look at are the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses to present to the children of Israel. Those commandments were for you and I as well. But think about the many blessings that would come from obedience to the commandments, from God to obeying God's law. How much nicer would this world be to live in if everyone were keeping the Ten Commandments? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll start in verse 29. It says here that, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Dropping down to verse 31. "But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you go to possess." God's desire is that His children would obey Him, because it will be better for them if they did. And I've mentioned this before, but it's the same for us as parents, raising our children. We desire that they do what we ask, because we know that it's for their benefit, but they don't always see it that way. God gave us the standard to live by in the form of the Ten Commandments, in addition to additional commands and judgments that He gave. And we're admonished to carefully obey them and to not deviate from them. And we're told that if we do follow and obey God's commandments, that it will be well with us and our days will be prolonged. But all you have to do is turn on the news today to see the side effects of the world deciding that those laws don't really need to be obeyed. Violence, hatred, jealousy, envy, lying, cheating, stealing, and the list goes on and on and on. The world has changed the size of home plate. In terms of rules to live by, they have reduced the size dramatically. We must stay at 17 inches. We've looked at a few areas now that God has set the standard for us to live by. And there's many more that we could look at, but we won't for the lack of time. But I would encourage all of us to continue this list sometime, looking at God's standard, what God has established, and how the world has deviated from it. And another very important aspect of all of this is we to know and understand what this standard is that God has set for us. We have to study that standard. We have to keep studying. Now, this standard we're studying doesn't change, but we have to keep studying it. I deal with building and electrical codes, doing inspections. And those codes change periodically. And there's several books that go along with those codes, and they do change periodically. And they have to be studied. I have to study those, or other inspectors have to study those books to be educated and to understand what the latest code is. And we have to study and know that in order to be able to enforce them accurately. But we're fortunate that our standard doesn't change, but we still have to study it to know what it is. And I want to look at another story here quickly. We've looked at some of God's standards and what He expects from us. And I want to look at another story that illustrates this idea of adhering to God's standard, regardless of the adversity being faced. And we've looked at this story a lot, but I think it really illustrates this idea of adhering to God's standard, adhering to His law, even though it might be tempting to make some concessions or compromises to make our life easier, or in some cases, to save our lives. And this is the story of Daniel and his three friends. If you turn to the book of Daniel, and again, we go over this a lot, but I think it's a really good story. Should be encouraging to all of us. They did not compromise. It would have been easy for them to lower or alter their standard, to spare their lives, but they would not. They stayed at 17 inches. And here in Daniel chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had besieged Jerusalem and had taken some of the young people to put into a training program to be a service to him. They were to go on a 3-year training program, and they were to be fed the delicacies of the king, the unclean delicacies. And at first, this might sound like a great opportunity, eating and drinking what the king eats and drinks. But Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. Daniel realized God's standard, clean and unclean animals, prohibit him from eating the king's food. If they did, it would defile them. And God brought Daniel into favor with the chief eunuch. And God opened the door for these young men. They had to go through that door, though. And as the story goes on, Daniel had petitioned that they may be fed vegetables and water for 10 days, just to prove that they would do okay. But at first, the chief eunuch is concerned that this could cost me my life and cost you your life as well if the king gets upset. But he did agree. And at the end of those 10 days, Daniel and his friends appeared better than all the others that were eating the king's delicacies. So they were able to continue with their vegetables and water. And as the story goes on down in the story, at the end of the time, Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than all the others. And God had richly blessed these young men. They held to the standard that they knew. They stayed at 17 inches. And again, God blessed them tremendously. And we'll go a little bit further in the book of Daniel here for the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, King Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image of himself, and the decree had gone out that any time the music played, everyone must fall down and worship this golden image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not comply. They stayed at 17 inches. And the king was informed, and they were brought before him, and he was angry. And he gave them a second chance. Said, okay, you didn't do it the first time. Now you've got a second chance. When music plays, you fall down, or I'm going to kill you. It was a do or die situation for them. And their response in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if he doesn't, let it be known to you that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. There was no room for discussion on this matter with them. They knew what the standard was. They would not compromise. They would not worship any other gods except the one true God. They stayed at 17 inches. So this really went well with the king. He's really mad now. And he had the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than normal. And he had them cast into the fire. And we know that even the men that cast them in died because it was so hot. But God sent an angel to protect them. And as the king observed this, he called them to come out of the furnace. They did not compromise. Verse 27 of chapter 3. The satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then the king made a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. They did not compromise. They were punished for not obeying the king, but God delivered them from that punishment. And the king recognized that this was the power of God on display. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted or caused to prosper as a result of not compromising their standards. They were blessed for maintaining obedience to God. And we've taken a look today at some of the standards God has set for us and His law. And we've taken a look a little bit at what the world has done to lower that standard and the side effects for doing so. They have changed the size of home plate to suit their needs and desires, but we must stay at 17 inches. The outcome of the two situations we looked at here in Daniel were positive. This may not always be the case. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith that God would deliver them. But they also recognized that He might not deliver them. And that's okay too, because we're not going to compromise. We're going to stay at 17 inches. And we all have likely been tested to some degree. And if you haven't already, you will be. And we will continue to be tested. And we're all going to face situations and circumstances in which we may be tempted to compromise our standard. We may face persecution. We may have our lives threatened. And it might be easier if we compromise just a little bit. If we change the size of home plate just a little. But our Bible that you have in your lap, that's the only home plate we should be concerned with. That's our standard. God has set that standard for us. And it doesn't change. God has set before each and every one of us a choice. We can choose life and good, or we can choose death and evil. We can choose life and death, blessing and cursing. But if we obey His voice, and if we cling to Him, God is our life and He is the length of our days. We must stay at 17 inches.